All right, everyone, welcome on behalf of Pace to the 2019 David Riley Coaches Conference, or Players and Coaches Conference. My name is Aaron, and on behalf of Pace, thank you all for coming. We do this every year for the improvement of Quiz Bowl and the community, and in memory of our former member David Riley, who, in the words of Quiz Bowler Morgan Venkus, as coach of Loyola High School for 20 years, pushed his students as hard as he pushed the state of Illinois to become good and develop a dynamic Quiz Bowl circuit. And it's largely due to his efforts that we have such a healthy circuit there today. And upon his passing in 2015, he left us all a very strong legacy that we try to continue with this conference. So before we get started with the discussion, I'd like to welcome our wonderful panel here. Would you all like to start introducing yourselves with the schools and groups you represent? We have a ninth who will be joining us shortly.
Please come in.
Hi, my name is Alex. I played Quiz Bowl at Lawrence University and DePaul University, where I got my master's. I am a member of PACE and ACF, and for ACF, I am formerly the treasurer, and as of this week, now the mirror coordinator, and also the misconduct forum rep.
Hi, I'm Matt Bollinger. I'm from Virginia, or played for the University of Virginia for a while, and I'm the communications officer for ACF.
Hi, my name is Lakshmi Parameshwaran. I'm Hari's mother and coach slash chaperone slash parent of Beaver Creek Quiz Bowl team from Ohio.
And I'm Julie Cohen. I am also with Beaver Creek High School. I have a daughter currently on the team, and my son played until last year with Beaver Creek.
President of Carnegie Mellon Quiz Bowl, and I'm also the Vice President of Outreach for PACE. And outside of that, I also am an editor for the Greater Pennsylvania Quiz Bowl blog.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ankit. I was captain of the Bellarmine College Preparatory Quiz Bowl team. I served as president of UC Berkeley Quiz Bowl, and I am currently a member of PACE and the Vice President of the Northern California Quiz Bowl Alliance.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'm a senior with Stevenson in Illinois who will be attending Stanford next year. I hope to be involved with Quiz Bowl there. And I'm also a provisional member of ACF.
Hi, I'm Soham Shenoy. I'm a current senior at the Charter School of Wilmington, better known in the Quiz Bowl world as Wilmington Charter. And next year I will start playing for Georgia Tech.
All right, so first a brief outline of the conference. This will consist of a two-hour conference divided into two segments of an hour each. We'll have a brief break from 7:50 to 8 o'clock p.m. The first hour will be devoted to making your home in Quiz Bowl, we decided. So that will include volunteering and staffing and writing questions for the first time, as well as getting involved in outreach. And we'll also even touch on the role of parents and chaperones. After that, we're going to take the break, then come back and talk about three specific topics, which didn't really fall into that previous category, which are relationships between members of different age groups, the impact of team rankings, and finally, we'll finish up with a discussion of study strategies and carding and all that before moving on to audience questions. All right, so why don't we get started then? So specifically, one question we got was staffing, volunteering, and writing questions for the first time. Suppose you're a new player and you're concerned that, oh, my first questions are going to get rejected, or I have no idea how to staff or run a tournament. Where do you begin?
So at least I can talk about the staffing part of that a little bit. So I staffed my first tournament at the beginning of my junior year. And so basically just realized that a lot of tournaments.
So when you're considering being involved for the first time, wherever you're going, like maybe for college or wherever you are currently, you should kind of look out for who the movers and shakers are in the area where you are currently situated or you are going to be situated. This can be found out through the forums. Often, like people who are prolific tournament directors will post on the forums. You can often email NAQT. You can email sort of authority for somebody who can help you get involved. On the other hand, you might want to be a mover and shaker yourself, and how do you get to that stage? When I was in high school, local competitive high school Quiz Bowl in the Bay Area was kind of sparse, to say the least. There were only a few tournaments played every year. My team personally had went and traveled to find more competition because there just weren't that many tournaments happening around the Bay Area. And we decided that, at least I personally decided that when I graduated high school, I was going to make a move to kind of change that. So because I went to high school and college in the same general area, the Bay Area, I went to UC Berkeley, and over there, I and a former alumnus of my high school decided that we were going to try to increase the frequency of tournaments in our area. And furthermore, we were also going to try and make it so that more and more schools could know about what a fantastic activity Quiz Bowl was. So at that time, Nicholas Karras, Tanay Kotari, and I started the California Cup series of tournaments, and we started the Northern California Quiz Bowl Alliance along with NAQT member Jeff Hoppus. And from just having these like few scattered tournaments with at maximum a dozen teams, in 3 years we went to tournaments with 64 teams, and that was through a persistent pattern of trying to just like outreach through our like peer networks, outreach through all sorts of different encouraging students to like talk to their peers about what a great activity Quiz Bowl was. And that's how we achieved that type of growth. And if you're coming to the Bay Area, we always sort of welcome people staffing.
So I've heard some stuff about like staffing and tournament directing, but I'd love to talk about writing because I think that's something that I've recently experienced. This past fall, I edited literature for ACF Fall as a high school senior, and that was an incredible experience. Best thing ever. But I think a lot of people are really like scared by that sort of like, I don't know, maybe not even the big title, but the like the large responsibilities that writing takes. And also just Quiz Bowl as a community is very much an open forum. We literally have like the forums, for example, and like there's often that fear, I guess, of, I don't know, being publicly flamed for a bad TASA, for like a bad lead-in or something, which whether or not that is rational, like I think I understand the fear of like putting out your hard work in front of a community of people and being curious about like what their perception of it is going to be. What I would encourage people who are looking to get into writing to do is A, find a role model or role models. Like Ankit said, like the movers and shakers of the writing community, like often, I think in almost all cases, they're super nice people, and though you should appreciate their labor and like the time that they would put in talking to you, they're often quite willing to talk to you about questions and that sort of thing. Additionally, you should definitely like just practice. Question writing is literally like anything else. Just keep working at it and you will improve, especially if you're getting feedback on it from aforementioned mentors. Additionally, like use the opportunities that are available to you. If you've graduated high school and you're over 18, NAQT has apps. There's other like processes. There's PACE membership that happens separately. Like I guess we can talk about Madden, but NHBB stuff. Like there are lots of opportunities, regardless of what outlet you're using to write questions. And receiving feedback and writing those questions, like that is the number one suggestion I have. Just keep writing.
In fact, just to add on to one of the lists that Olivia was drawing up there, ACF also has open writer applications for both fall and regionals this year, and the regionals one is new, so more opportunities out there for applications for writing. I would also encourage, speaking as some like a bit of an older person on this panel, I guess, I would also encourage if you are trying to put together a set for a housewrite, to, if you don't have your full team of staff of writers and editors put together, just put it out in open call. Say, hey, you know, we have people who are doing literature and history and science. We need people to be doing fine arts and social studies. Because I think that that's, and if you are on the other side of that, looking for those opportunities for sets that don't have a complete writing team can be a really great way to break into it as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I just wanted to.
Go for it.
So my first writing assignment was I was hanging out in the old Quiz Bowl IRC, which was a chat room that's dead now, except for Fluge. basically there was a tournament emergency going on, as there frequently was at that time. Now that we've completely fixed that problem, that won't happen. But anyway, yeah, someone like Eric Mukherjee just asked me, like gave an open call for people to submit questions or freelance things. And I think often if you're kind of hanging around the scene or like, you know, online spaces or Discord or whatever, people will be talking about tournaments they're writing for, or they maybe they're behind and they need questions, and that can be a good way just to lean in and step forward and all that stuff. There are lots of opportunities, you just have to jump in. It can be kind of informal, but the doors are open.
As parents, chaperone, we are actively involved in Beaver Creek Quiz Bowl team. Actually, the Quiz Bowl team started about 4 years ago when Hari was a freshman. And the next year, they started the Beaver Creek Fall Invitational Tournament. And so as parents, we played an important role in actually organizing and helping the team as well as the coach to actually, you know, put it together. Right, Judy?
I would say that if you're coaching and if you're a team captain, Hari has done a great job making sure that kind of the teammates understand that part of the expectation is to help put those tournaments on. Parents sometimes don't know where they fit in. Depending on how open the coach is to help, it's sometimes hard to find your way. But if you have from the beginning an expectation that if you're part of this team, then your family is part of the team too. You've now opened up a whole host of opportunities for people to both be involved with their students and also to help staff. And then we did have our team work together to write as a team, not as individuals. And they had a great deal of fun. There was much shouting from my family room over headsets as they argued about the propriety or solvability of different questions. So, you know, having everybody involved and from the outset understanding that that's part of the equation, I think helps it happen and helps ownership in it.
And I just wanted to talk about, we mentioned things like staffing and writing. I wanted to talk really quickly about staffing, getting started tournament directing. And that's such a great segue because it can be really hard to get started with those kinds of things. You don't have the institutional support. I went to a really small college for my undergrad where a Quiz Bowl team was actually fairly healthy in the sense we usually had about 10 people, but we didn't really had enough to put together a really like a large tournament or anything for that for people in the area. One of the ways that you can get involved in tournament directing if you do have the institutional support is to look for housewrights and other sets that are looking for mirrors. You know, you don't have to both create the questions and host the tournament and do everything like yourself. You can look for sets that are being written then or looking for locations across the country where they want to be played. And that can be a really good way if you do have the staff to start getting involved in logistics work. And there's tons of resources available online. If you go on QB Wiki, it can link you to tons of different guides for TDs. There's no need to sort of reinvent the wheel the entire time. So resources like that are definitely out there online.
And as Alex was talking about with tournament directing, that's one of the cooler rules in running a Quiz Bowl tournament. I think a lot of people, when they think about staffing, they think about only reading or scorekeeping. But being in the control room, there's so many different roles that you can have there as well. The tournament director is usually the person that, you know, makes sure that the logistics are running well. But then you also have people that are running the stats, that are working with SQBS, Neg5, and a couple of other possible programs. So if you want to get involved with that, then you can probably just ask and either get experience with it or get some resources from people who have more experience in the community, and that's a really good way to get started.
So regarding tournament directing, I know Alex talked a little bit about doing it in college, but in terms of doing it in high school, that was one of the things I also did when I was first starting to get more into the Quiz Bowl community. And originally started out because we realized we needed money, which is a legit reason to host a tournament, because you do make money out of doing that. And so as a high schooler, it's kind of difficult to, I guess, reach out to other teams to get them to come and, you know, gain the trust of like coaches and adults to be like, hey, come pay like $80 a team to play at this thing I'm putting on, like, and just as a high schooler. But I would say if you reach out to a lot of people in your community, I know in Pennsylvania, there's a lot of older people who are willing to help, or like college students who are willing to come and staff. If you reach out to them, they'll have plenty of advice. Like Alex said, there's a lot of resources online that you can look at. And so no matter like what age you are, if you like put in the effort into directing a good tournament, people will come and people will appreciate your effort, and it'll be a good experience for everyone.
I would also remember that the people who make your tournaments possible are the people who started for the first time. So if you keep that in mind when you're going forward, you'll also get a sense of how much you yourself can positively impact the activity and the lives of the people who participate in this game.
I actually have one more thing I want to add to the discussion of writing for the first time, and that's the fact that these days standards have gotten so high, and especially at the top level, there's the expectation that you'll be more creative. So how do you address that if you're just starting out as a writer? How much emphasis should be put on that? Matt and Olivia, would you like to speak to that?
Well, if you have a great idea, I mean, go for it. But, like, I think that should not be your priority as a starting writer if you're writing for, I don't know, a high school tournament or for a packet submission or something. I mean, what Jonathan Magan told me when I was just starting out was, like, just write a good question and you're, like, 80th percentile already. Like, if the clues are all true and in the right order and useful, and not just, like, you know, this painting has a red square in the top left corner or something like that, then, like, your editor, like, the editor who receives your packet will love you. So focus, like, spend all your energy, I think, if you're just starting out, on that and writing, like, a competent, good question on, like, an answer line that's difficulty appropriate. And if you have a great idea, again, go for it, but I wouldn't stress about that if you're just starting out.
And yeah, just to add on that, like, everything that Matt Bo said, just, like, write good questions. But also, I think, with the creativity point, like, more new voices is what births creativity in Quizbowl. Like, oh my goodness, that's how good new innovative questions start, because we have fresh new blood in the Quizbowl writing programs. So yeah, especially with the rise of, like, new standards of creativity, like, I think it's great to get as many voices and as diverse a writer group as possible.
I guess I could talk about this. I guess even if you do have creative ideas, those are great, but you probably shouldn't, like, commit yourself to writing a tournament just because you want to write questions. And I think that a lot of people in the Quizzle community kind of focus really hard on the process of writing questions and then, like, tie that directly to writing for a tournament and trying to use that tournament to, like, have mirrors and then get money. And unfortunately, this leads to either rushed sets or sets that, you know, suffer from the same problems year after year if they continue for multiple iterations. And I have some personal experience with this because I thought I had a great idea with a high school set that I came up with the idea for. Some of you may know what it's called, Fact. It's kind of infamous right now. We had mirrors scheduled for it last year, and the idea was basically to take the normal high school house, right, and have the, you know, 15, 16 packets that you would in a normal set, but have six of those be packet submissions, which are, you know, more common in, like, the college level, especially for ACF. And doing that for high school turned out not to be such a great idea. I mean, there are other things that, like, plagued the production that I really don't want to get into right now because that would take too long. But I think that a lot of, at least my ambition for it, was trying to get something out there. I wanted to write questions, but I tied that directly to the goal of, like, getting a set in production, and that may not have been the best idea. So it's a great idea if you want to just write questions for fun when you're starting out, and maybe have someone else, like Olivia said, a mentor or an idol, look over them, and that might give you some good, you know, feedback before everyone else in the forums could criticize them publicly.
Oh, baby.
It wasn't that bad.
One note I'll make about the creativity inherent in question writing is that creativity is great, and there is a temptation to have clues that are, like, fun clues, you know, like clues that, like, kind of depict something, like, out there. Or one of the things that you want to make sure of is that what you are writing is actually, like, factually true. For example, to take a notorious recent example, the Met is not actually the MoMA.
Oh, no.
And there's, like, a best-selling history book floating around that says that this Ming explorer discovered America in 1421, which is also not true. So remember that we are first and foremost in academic activity with academic standards, and great writers like Matt Bollinger will spend a lot of time trying to, like, establish the veracity of what they're writing about, and that is something that you too want to emulate.
Don't write from memory, you said?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Don't write from memory. You don't remember things as well as you think you do.
Yes, well said. That is not a weakness. That is life. Let's pause for a moment here to welcome Dennis, who survived the TSA and the FAA. Dennis, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Dennis Liu. I'm the coach of IMSA, and before that, I coached at TJ, and before that, I played undergrad at Virginia Tech and graduate at UVA, where I got a front row seat to this guy.
I'm in between two Virginians here.
All right, well, now that you're here, we can move on to our next focus of this hour, which is a topic you wanted to bring up, which is maturity and all the things that come with that, which ideally should go hand in hand with gaining more experience, volunteering, staffing, and writing. So, what say you?
Okay, so, I mean, Quiz Bowl is a game about knowing things, but one of the things that people have probably noticed after a while is that maturity is highly underrated. We all know people with, say, phenomenal memories, curious, whatever, but let's say that if they're very immature, that leads to problems. It's the example I like to use is that it's great if you can throw 99 miles per hour. It's doesn't really help if you can't actually get the ball over the plate. So maturity influences everything from studying to gameplay, and it's pretty essential to like maximizing what talent you do have. Because I mean, we haven't talked about studying yet. Okay. Just for things like saying, actually stick, having a goal, sticking to it, reminding yourself of it when you don't necessarily feel like doing the work. And in game, the most, I guess, the easiest way to sort of observe it is when things are not going your team's way. So I'm sure all of us have put up some horrendously bad negs at some point. We have all done it. I mean, if you've played for any length of time, you have probably cost your team a game once just because you screwed up, and it happens. So like the most visible thing, way to sort of tell whether a team has their act together is what happens after that. Can they concentrate on the next question or the next game, or do they just fall apart? And this is completely non-scientific. I have small sample sizes, but I have been keeping track of sort of times when a team sort of falls apart or something, and my estimate, again, this is, I have no large data sets backing this or anything, but my guess is that if you're talking about games between, like, say, some top 10 teams in the country, maturity is easily worth 10 points per game, like, out of the 400-ish they score, like, just either if somebody is not paying attention the next question after they nagged, if their head just goes down and then they're not paying attention, they maybe miss the bounce back part because they're still so worried about messing up the toss up that at pace they're going to mess up. They're not even listening for the bonus. One of the other things that you want to look for, and again, it's one of the things if you sort of recognize yourself in it, it's something that we all try to work on. All of us are going to neg. Don't blow up at your teammates when they neg. They feel terrible enough as is. In fact, especially if you're used to carrying the team, I mean, you are still going to need your second, third, fourth scorers to be willing to buzz in. And if you just get them to the point where if you blow up at them after they neg, then they're just simply going to stop buzzing in. And that's going to hurt you worse in the long run. Yeah, so anybody have anything else before?
I was just going to say that the converse of that is that one of the good things about Quiz Bowl is that it's a way to, like, develop maturity in some ways. I mean, some people don't, but, you know, it's – but really, like, a lot of people – well, a lot of people play sports for that reason because sports force you to – like, stay calm under pressure. They force you to work with the team. They force you to, like, have a long-term, have, like, long-term goals that you work towards in, like, shorter increments. And they force you to, like, either be a leader or be a follower, depending on how you recognize your situation. And Quiz Bowl, for a lot of people who wouldn't be interested in playing sports, can kind of provide that role. That, you know, you take a hard loss and you learn from it, or you make some mistakes in how you try to motivate your teammates and stuff, and you reflect on that and you learn from those mistakes. And so that can be a really socially valuable thing that it provides for Quizball players.
Yeah, I mean, with some of my current team, we even have things where we try to do just to get people. In a way, it's if we can't be mature yet, we can at least start going through the motions and fake it, and some of it rubs off. For instance, we've taken to actually, after a bad neg, getting somebody to literally turn the page of their notebook, like that is blank, it's gone, it's done. We've turned the page on that question, that game, move on. And really, it is something that people work on, and you will probably notice that you get a lot better at it from freshman to sophomore to junior to senior year. Any of the actual...
As somebody who's coached a couple middle school teams, I know very well the value of maturity. It literally does make all the difference, just the ability. I've taught some of my students to like kind of like meditate and center themselves before rounds, just to like be able to like be present in the moment of a particular match. Like, they have to develop a sense of what I call temporary amnesia, where as soon as like an event happens, they just have to forget that it happened. Even if that is like a great buzz or an egg, they just have to be like focused and in the moment of any given match.
I guess one thing that people, at least when they first start looking at Quiz Bowl stats, think is that PPG is like kind of like a great like PPG with worth in a way, and that kind of like affects the mindset of some younger players. So one thing that I do with kids in my club is I ask them to read this article on the forums called "On Being a Fourth Scorer." I think Mike Shane made that forum post, and it basically talks about how even if you don't have, like, you know, the best PPG on the team, you can still make crucial contributions to the morale of your team, to, you know, getting some really good pulls on bonus parts. And in that way, I don't think that people should value each other based on PPG. I think at the higher levels, of course, like, that doesn't really happen as often, but it's really important to note that you are important regardless of how much you score. And that's something that, you know, maybe as people play a little more and get a little bit more mature, that's something that they will begin to realize. And hopefully that builds good team spirit.
Shall we ask the real adults in the room?
All right, so Lakshmi's not going to say this, but I will. Hari is amazing. All right, I've had two children play with him. And if you have a strong player on your team, and there's, you know, I've watched Quiz Bowl now for 4 years. I am in no way an expert. I did not get to play. I would have been the fourth scorer in a team of three. But having someone who is a gifted player, like the one you are talking about, who has the knowledge of 99% of the world's information, who is still gracious, and whose behavior in that way is encouraged, the value on the team is incalculable. Because if that person doesn't get pissed off when you neg, then you have absolutely zero right to get pissed off when anybody else negs. And I think the value of having a team leader who has that mindset as a parent and a fill-in coach, it can't be overstated. So
I don't have anything to say.
Just really quickly, I want to say this does seem to be something that the Quiz Bowl community is holding itself to a higher standard to, like year over year. I find more that the most talented players nowadays are often just fantastic people as well. And so I think we are holding ourselves to higher standards of like behavior and how we interact with other people. It's just really heartwarming to see.
Yeah, and sort of going off what Mrs. Cohen said, like, I think a lot of the immaturity or the immature behaviors that we witness are just a result of, like, insecurity about your value in the game. Like, as someone who is not the first scorer, like, I understand, like, the desire to beat myself up after I neg or something. Like, do I deserve a place here? Like, that sort of insecure thought is what leads to immature, like, outbursts. So for me, what has really sort of helped with that sort of thought is just creating my place in the Quiz Bowl community in other ways. Like, to be, like, as just echoing what a lot of people have said here already tonight, you don't have to be the first scorer of your A team or whatever to have a valuable place in the community. There's so many opportunities through writing and staffing and everything and online like discussion boards. Like, you can be a prolific poster. Go you. I think there are just so many opportunities, and they each have their own value. And yeah, like, love everyone. Like, you're important in this Quiz Bowl family, regardless of how many points you're scoring.
And to go off of what we were saying previously about volunteering and, you know, like staffing and TDing, those are all things that doing those also could be a sign of maturity, like being able to put yourself on the other side of like the buzzer and like being able to help other people play Quiz Bowl and discover their place in the community. That's also a really fulfilling way to get involved, and, you know, it demonstrates maturity. And then another point I was thinking about when you were talking about not being a first scorer is that I've seen a lot of teams where the captain isn't necessarily the first scorer. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's not like an accident a lot of the times, because, you know, if you have a captain who's a really good, you know, leader and a good person at, you know, keeping the team together and improving the team morale, that's like a very important role. And that maybe isn't shown in like their PPG, but that's shown in how their team does.
And for those of you, I mean, I guess it's a little harder just because your third and fourth scorers at high school tend to be your underclassmen, but it really helps if, I guess, they're stable, they don't tilt, and their teammates don't have to put any maintenance into them.
Could you remind me what tilt means?
Okay, yes. Tilt, a term from first pinball, where if you tilted the table, you lost the ball, which migrated to poker and online gaming, which meant loss of control and loss of your game and degeneration in your game, and now Quiz Bowl, where it usually ends up in neg storms. So you see a team lose it, and then you see them neg three times in a row, and then they're done. So I guess for those of you that are going to be playing in college, one of the things that will help if you're a third or fourth scorer your first couple years, which is probably going to be the case, is if you are stable, you want to be an emotional rock for your team as opposed to having to be somebody that requires constant maintenance. And if you haven't read Mike Shane's thing, are we putting together a list of things?
We'll hyperlink these on the forums and on the website.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, again, this is more relevant to college, but if you're the three or four on a college team, you can look for other things to do as well, such as, hey, we're probably, for those of you that have played in college, you're familiar with the long drives to wherever. And everybody wants to do that last minute cramming before whatever. Volunteer to drive. I mean, it's better for your top players to go in feeling like they've done all they could. If you have to drive 7 hours, great. That is something you can do for your team in addition to however many PPG you get.
All right, we got about 10 minutes left in this hour. Anyone have anything else on maturity before we move on? All right, so the last question we had for this hour was maybe not so much making a home for yourself in Quiz Bowl, but making a home for others, specifically getting out to teams who don't go beyond their local circuit that often, whether they're in a rural area or they never have gone on that far. Fortunately, we have Pace's own VP of Outreach here to put someone on the spot. You want to start us off, Jackie?
Yeah. So there's obviously, you know, different ways to approach different schools, I guess, that don't play Quiz Bowl. But one interesting way that not a lot of people, I guess, are aware of is that there's actually like so many other academic competitions out there that are kind of like Quiz Bowl but don't follow the same format, or they're not necessarily like pyramidal questions, or some other quirk about it is different. But a lot of those teams are teams that would be interested in playing tournaments, and if they had the right people, you know, reaching out to their coaches or reaching out to their principals or activity directors, those are teams that you could get to tournaments and who would enjoy the game. And I know examples of that in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, is there are like TV shows that have like academic questions. There's other formats. There's other even national competitions that use different formats that a lot of teams go to. And maybe those are just teams that have never heard about, you know, like NEQT or or PACE or like any of the pyramidal Quiz Bowl competitions. So I guess if you are in one of those, you know, like local leagues or TV shows in your area, I guess just try reaching out to those other teams that are there. I know in my high school, we had like a county academic competition where there were maybe like 15 of those teams that just didn't play Pyramidal Quiz Bowl. And those were all teams that we wanted to get and who would probably enjoy playing tournaments. So I think that's a good place to try to reach out to teams.
Disclaimer, most of what I'm about to say is advice that Jackie gave me at one point or another. So I come from Delaware, and Delaware has not had an active circuit, per se, for about 10 years or so. And so a lot of schools, if they had Quiz Bowl teams before, those faculty are either no longer there, or they just don't have an active program, or they don't go to tournaments, or whatever it may be. But getting teams that have, in that regard, not done Quiz Bowl before to do Quiz Bowl, the in-person demo is actually really effective. So if you can set up a meeting or some sort of after-school time to go to a school, maybe bring a set of buzzers and some questions and actually, you know, play through a couple of games with them, that'll actually be really interactive and a good way to get new teams to understand what Quiz Bowl is and why it might be good for them. I guess the other thing, and also this is something Jackie advised me to do, if you're running a tournament especially and you want to get a lot of new teams to come to the tournament, maybe it's their first time going to a tournament, run a novice bracket, and specifically within the novice bracket, have prizes for new to Quiz Bowl players. And this is really good because it recognizes, you know, that teams that are experienced with Quiz Bowl will fundamentally have an advantage over teams that are new to Quiz Bowl because they don't have the time to, you know, get themselves up to the same level and or preparation that other teams have had. So recognizing those efforts is, you know, really important because they really have worked hard to get to where they are. And if they finish well at a local tournament and it's their first tournament, they probably should get some recognition for that because that is a job well done.
I want to second what Soham said about promotion of the tournament. Those are all really great ideas. Another thing that I want to point out is that you could actually promote Quiz Bowl to competitors in other adjacent academic competitions like, you know, Science Bowl, History Bowl, Acadeca, FBLA, DECA, Debate, Robotics. Those are all other academic competitions that draw on sort of a slice of what is asked about in Quiz Bowl. And with the proper sort of appeal, you can, in fact, make Quiz Bowl an appealing activity for them, particularly if they get a lot of powers in their specialty in like a novice tournament setting. Then they can kind of get the rush that's associated with the power, and it makes them much more likely to want to stick with it. Another thing that I want to point out about buzzer-based academic competitions, different ones than Pyramidal Quiz Bowl, is that we as a community have been inculcated with the idea that Pyramidal Quiz Bowl is the best form of buzzer-based academic competition, which is absolutely true to be sure, but that's also not, you don't want to like come off as smug or condescending to people who play other formats or other competitions. You want to present Quiz Bowl as something that they might be interested in because they're interested in this other thing. Like, hey, you play Knowledge Bowl or local televised competition. It's academic. Maybe you'd be interested in coming to this tournament here. We have a slightly different format. It's a lot of fun. I promise you. Come and give it a spin. And you should sort of frame your appeal in a positive manner, purely positive manner, not in a derogatory manner towards other formats when you're reaching out to new players and teams.
I just wanted to add, we've kind of talked a little bit about, you know, getting the teams to a tournament, but there's also a lot of teams that come to one tournament, have a terrible experience or something, and then they just never come back again. And so another important part of outreach is making sure that those teams actually stick with it or that they have a good time. And one thing Soham said is having a novice bracket, so they're not just getting like beaten up like 500-0 with like one of the nation's best teams in their first experience. And then also, if you're a player, just I guess try to incorporate them into the community a little more, even like at a tournament. Like talk to them, be nice to them, like you should to everyone, obviously, at a tournament. And just make sure that they feel welcome in the community and that they're not just here for like a one-time thing, and that they should want to feel like they want to come back and play more tournaments and be involved in the community.
Yeah, this is just a minor thing, but for people who are running the tournaments, when you draw up the schedule, take note of which teams are new and be careful scheduling their first couple of rounds, because you'd probably have a pretty good idea of what the teams attending are like, at least most of them. And you really don't want to put, say, the team of freshmen who are playing the game for the first time against Beaver Creek in their very first game, because a lot of, yeah, like I've seen people actually leave partway through the tournament. Yeah, and again, it's in general, it's a credit to the kids that they're doing a much better job about just being nice to the people that they play. For instance, it struck me a few years back after Eric Hsu had just annihilated my freshman by about 650 points, but he was legitimately praising them. Oh, wow, you got a really good buzz on this thing. And people respond a lot better to that than people just yelling, well, yes, that packet was stock or something like that. Yeah, the whole packet.
And again, you guessed it. I heard this from Jackie and learned it from Jackie. One thing you probably want to do for new teams, especially that we didn't bring up before, is you want to have a new team discount. So usually the registration price for a team at a tournament is somewhere in the range of $65 to $75, maybe a little bit less if you're running a middle school tournament or some other set that doesn't have as expensive of a mirror fee. But you usually want to make it more affordable, usually like, I wouldn't say cut it down by half, but maybe $20 off for being a new team to Quiz Bowl is a really good incentive for getting new teams to come. And as Ankit was talking about, one of the like problems that we have in the Quiz Bowl community is we need to find good alternatives to the term bad Quiz Bowl, because that's just a generic term we use to like as an umbrella for things that don't resemble Quiz Bowl. And that's very important, especially when you're communicating via email. Because another thing that we should mention, I guess, is that even if you're doing outreach, it's not all, what are happy things? Sparkles and sunshine. The response rate is like, I would say you might get like 6 or 7 responses for 50 to 100 emails sent. It could not be the most enjoyable thing sometimes, but whatever work you are doing, it is not going unnoticed. You are doing a good thing. You are trying to get more teams involved in the community, so you are not going unnoticed, and thank you for taking a more active role in the community. That shows some maturity, and that is important. So, yeah.
Just one quick thing for those of you who have, I guess, fairly active sponsors. They probably get emails, like when I taught in Fairfax County, we would get these emails sent to, I think, every single math teacher or something like that, and it was not a BCC. They actually had several hundred people on there. So I actually, yes, contributed to the spam by going, hey, we are having a Quiz Bowl tournament for all of you schools that have never played before or whatever. I don't know if there is as much of a, is there a mailing list or anything, but I'd also like to thank Centennial, because when Dr. Sefter sent out his emails, he did not use BCC, so I just hit reply and said, guess what, there's a tournament. So if you can leverage something like the existing mailing list that your county already has, that's a good way, especially if you're trying to open it up to middle school or something that isn't just high school.
All right, we're almost out of time for the hour. Before we break, I'd be remiss if I did not mention that we're actually the second panel discussing the Quiz Bowl community in the past 2 weeks. Olivia was a panelist of the other, so if you'd like to give a brief recap of that.
So, We're referencing the Women in Quiz Bowl panel that occurred at HSNCT 2 weeks ago. This panel dealt with like a lot of the issues that we've been seeing over the years with Women in Quiz Bowl. Not only, I guess, the presence or lack thereof of Women in Quiz Bowl, but also the internalized misogyny these women experience. How, I guess, sometimes we present this experience as that of a higher income, white, cis, straight woman. How we can sort of expand that, and how we can alter our outreach so that it is more inclusive of a variety of people and a variety of identities. So if you're interested in listening to that, which I sure hope you are, you can find the SoundCloud link on the forums, and you can also find it. It's floating around Twitter. It's in most of the Quiz Bowl Facebook groups. Yeah, you can find it. And I highly encourage you to listen to it.
All right, thank you all. That'll do it for the first hour. We'll resume at, let's say, 5 after 8.